Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for just the goodness, the mercy that you give us as we observe this 10th anniversary of 9/11. Oh, Lord, how merciful you are that those events weren't worse than what they could have been. And Father, the fact that we've gone 10 years without another major terrorist attack just attests to your mercy and your grace. I look around our land and you would think we would be more godly now, but we seem to be more godless. And Lord, we plead for your mercy. Don't give us what we deserve, Lord. Give us your mercy. And so, Lord, today as we look at this text, help us to put our focus on you. Help us to understand that time is short, Lord, that we're to, as Paul, the Apostle Paul says, we're to redeem the time that we have left. And Lord, just encourage us from this great text hidden here in 1 Chronicles. I ask you to do that by the power of your Spirit today. I ask you to bless the message that Alan Blackman has for us, and we know that you will, and we thank you for that, and we thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name that I pray. Amen. 10 years ago today, 8:48 Eastern Standard Time, American flight number 11 crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. At 9:02, United Flight 175 crashed into the South Tower. At 9:37, I remember watching that when the second plane went in. I was watching it on NBC, and Katie Couric said, "Oh, the air traffic control is terrible today." And I was like, "Man, you don't understand what's going on here. This is a terrorist attack." It was just a few minutes later, 30 minutes later, that American Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. And at that point, anybody with any brains knew that we were at war with this grotesque, terrible giant named radical Islam. And this giant has ugly fingers and ugly toes. Men like Osama bin Laden, Alamar al-Zahari, Kahid Sheikh Mohammed, just to name a few. And so what were we to do to fight this terrible giant? Well, it didn't take long to find out, did it? Because the fight really didn't begin in Iraq. It really didn't begin in Afghanistan. It began on United Flight 93. When a group of brave men led by a Christian named Todd Beamer said, hey, they knew that plane was heading back and possibly going to crash into the Capitol and hundreds of more people were going to be killed. And those brave men stormed that cockpit and brought that plane down, and they all died, but they spared a many of a life. And the battle against the giant had begun. But man, what an example those brave men set on United Flight 93. A costly example. And that's an example that cost them their lives. But hey, that cry, "Let's roll," we've heard that on several occasions now. When we went into Afghanistan, that was the battle cry, "Let's roll." When we went into Iraq, that was the battle cry, "Let's roll." They say that when they went and stormed that compound in Pakistan and killed Osama bin Laden, that was the battle cry, "Let's roll." And there's a great lesson there to be learned from those heroes on United 93. Other heroes that day, the firemen that went into those towers and gave their lives to get people out of those towers before they came down. The rescuers at the Pentagon. I mean, there were so many men and women that gave up their lives and set an example for us all. An example that says this: the way we fight our giants influences other people. And that lesson's as old as time, and so if it's as old as time, we're going to find it in the Bible, and that's where we're heading today. So I want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 20, And we're going to begin down in verse number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 4. It says, "Now it happened afterward that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines." And the Israelites were always battling with the Philistines. "At a time in which time Sabaka, the Hushathite, killed Sepe, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued." Well, when it happened afterwards, you can kind of look back up to verse number 3 and look at the last sentence there, and it says, "So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem." When David finished that battle against the Ammonites, he was pretty much done with warfare. He went back to his palace and basically retired at that point. And other people went out to do the battle for him. But he had influenced those other people, and that's a lesson we're heading for here. And so it happened after David retired that war broke out in Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sabaka the Hushathite killed Sippe, who was one of the sons of the giant. Now, what giant are they referring to? He was a son of Goliath, that great giant that David had fought. "And they were subdued. And there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." Well, a weaver's beam was about 4 to 5 inches thick, and it was about 15 feet long, and they were told in 1 Samuel that it weighed about 300 shekels, so that's about 15 or 20 pounds. The iron head, we're told, on the spear that he threw was about 600 shekels, which is about 30 to 40 pounds. So basically, he's got this spear in his hand, so it's got to be a pretty big man that's throwing this 50-pound-plus spear like we would throw a baseball. And so it just speaks to the size of this giant. But Elhanan killed him. And then here's the one I want you to look at. "Yet again there was a war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature with 24 fingers." Man, that's sick, isn't it? "And toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. And he also was born to the giant." He was a son of Goliath. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. Now you talk about an ugly, grotesque giant. I mean, even more ugly than the giant Goliath. I mean, he's about 12 foot tall. He's freakish looking. He's got these 6 hairy fingers, these 6 hairy toes on each foot. And I mean, just like his dad, he defied Israel. Now, how did his dad defy Israel? He went out and cursed Israel, didn't he? And he dared them to come out to battle against him. He dared them, "Hey, you come out and battle against me, and you beat me, and we'll be your servants. If I beat you, your warrior, then you'll be our servants." And not only that, he cursed God. He cursed the God of Israel. And so no doubt this giant came out cursing the God of Israel, cursing the name of the Lord. But Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. You catch that there? First of all, catch his name. I wonder who he got named after. Can you figure that one out? Who was David's best friend? A warrior against the Philistines. He had fought armies. Him and just his servant had destroyed one of the armies of the Philistines. And so no doubt he was named after David's good friend, Jonathan. And you got to ask, where does this young man find the courage to go out against such a grotesque giant and bring him down? Well, hey, no doubt he had heard the story of his uncle, David, on several occasions. And probably he had heard it from his father, Shimeah, because Shimeah was one of David's older brothers. And I can just hear him telling this story to Jonathan when he was a little boy. I could just see it right now. He goes to Jonathan, he says, "Jonathan, hey, let me tell you a great story about your uncle David. It was during the time when the Philistines were at war with the Israelites, and there was this great battle taking place, and I was there with my older brothers, and we were there right on the battlefield. And then this one terrible day, this big, terrible, mean giant came to the battlefield, this giant named Goliath. And he began to curse Israel and curse the God of Israel. And he began to dare us to come out and fight him. Well, about that time, David drives up in the wagon. He comes from home, and he's bringing us some snacks to the battlefield. He's got some bread and some wine and some chocolate cake from Mama's Best chocolate cake and some fried chicken. And, you know, we're sitting around eating the fried chicken, and all of a sudden this giant begins to curse God again, and he begins to curse Israel again. And David said to us, he said, what are you going to do about that? You're going to let this giant curse our God? And they laughed at him. Well, why don't you go out and fight him? If you're such a big talker. He said, well, I'll do just that. And so he went and he found King Saul. And he says, I want to go out to battle, and I want to battle this giant and win a great victory on behalf of the Lord and stop this man from cursing my God. And Saul was pretty desperate at that point. So he says, okay, David, I'm going to let you go out to battle. But he gave him his armor, and he gave him his spear, and gave him his sword, and it weighted David down. He was just a little boy, a young man, and it weighted him down so much he said, I can't go to battle like this. He says, all I can do is take my staff and my sling, and I'll be just fine with the Lord there with me. And so David goes out to battle, and the giant sees him coming, and he says, am I a dog that you would come out to me with a stick? And then he cursed the God of Israel. But then, son, you should have heard what David said. I'll never forget it all the rest of my life. He says, you come at me with a sword and a javelin and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. And at that moment, son, I looked. And I saw David, and he grabbed his sling, and he twirled it around his head, and he let loose of that one end, and that rock took off, and it hit Goliath right between the eyes, and he dropped over dead. And David took Goliath's sword, and he went over there, and he chopped his head off. And I remember at that point, son, I remember looking at my brothers and looking at them, and it was kind of a mixed look. I mean, I could see joy in their face that the giant had been slain, but I'd also saw pain in their face, the same pain I had in my face, that we let our little brother go out there all alone when we could have shared in that great victory. Son, listen to me. If you ever get the chance to fight a giant, don't miss the opportunity. Trust in the Lord. Face the giant, and you'll get the victory. And one day when that boy grew up, Goliath's sons were causing all sorts of problems, and Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. Now, I mentioned earlier that the book of Chronicles, you kind of wonder when you're studying Chronicles, why do we have 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and then we have 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. Well, I think J. Vernon McGee hit it right on the head when he said 1 and 2 Kings views what's going on in Israel from the eyes of men. 1 and 2 Chronicles views what's going on in Israel from the eyes of God. And so we want to ask, how did God see this great victory? Well, we get the answer. Look at verse number 8. It says, these were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David, wait a minute, and by the hand of his servants. Now notice who gets the credit here, killing these sons of Goliath, the brother of Goliath, Sabaka, Elihanan, and Jonathan. But also look at this, David gets the credit. David wasn't even there. But in God's eye, they fell by the hand of David just as much as they fell by the hand of Jonathan. Why? Because David had influenced these men to do these great feats. Do you see the lesson there? And what's the greatest lesson that they learned from their uncle and their brother and and their relative and their friend David, what was the greatest lesson? That the battle belongs to the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Amen. You know, Todd Beamer was a Christian. At least that's what they say. I'm sure he was. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a similar thought in his head when he said, let's roll. That, hey, God's going to be with me fighting this giant no matter what happens. And if Todd Beamer was a Christian, and I believe he was, I don't believe he ever hit the ground. I believe he fought that giant and God brought him to him with him in glory. The only way that we're going to defeat this ugly, grotesque giant called Islam is to fight it by the power of God. And that begins with me and it begins with you. Because we fight it how? We fight against not flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness in high places. And so how do we fight those battles? We fight those battles by prayer. And there's a lot of people in this country that don't see it that way. We've got a memorial service going on right as we speak, and they don't want anything, have anything to do with God in that memorial service. That's pretty pitiful if you ask me. It's almost as if we're daring God to, hey, we rely on our military, we rely on our police, we don't need you, God. And it's almost as if we're daring him to allow another attack on this country. But that's really, you know, I really want to take this lesson a little bit further. I think all of us who call ourselves Christians need to learn from this example of David and his descendants. That whatever giant we face, we have a choice when we face that giant. We can cut and run. That's what a lot of people did that day when Goliath came out. We can stand by and watch others fight that giant. Or we can go out with the Lord of hosts, and I will promise you this. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, and we will win every battle we fight. Now, it might not seem like we're winning sometimes, and the battle might be the death of us, but in the end, we will win that battle. And when we fight those six-finger giants, and all of you have fought them sometimes, there's all sorts of six-finger giants out there. It's not just Islam. It could be a cancer, a deadly cancer. It could be a bad marriage. It could be some addiction you have. But if you fight that giant courageously by the power of the Lord of hosts, and you can be very sure when you're fighting that giant that someone's watching you. And they're watching the battle. It might be your nephew or your niece. It very well might be your son or your daughter. It very well might be some lost person who needs to know the Lord. And we all talk about how we're Christians and we love the Lord and we can do all things with Christ. And then the giant comes and we cut and run. Or we watch somebody else fight that giant. Or we let the giant defeat us. If we go out to battle with the Lord, we're going to get the victory. Now, I shared that little passage with you for a couple of reasons. One, we're heading into, we've looked at the theology of Romans, and now we're going to be heading to the practical application. We could call that practical application giant fighting. And so as we go through that, it's not going to be as much fun maybe as looking at the theology, and it's going to step on a lot of our toes, and it's going to challenge us. But we know from the theology that Paul's taught us that by the grace of God, we can have victory over any giant that we face. The second reason that I brought that text is because we have a guest speaker here today, and he's a missionary to Asia. He lives in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, about 2 miles from the killing fields. If you ever saw that movie or heard that story, he lives just a few miles. Isn't it amazing how God can conquer almost any land? I met Alan a few years back when I really was kind of hurting, and he kind of really became a good friend of mine. We were living in Destin, Florida, and Alan was one of those computer whizzes and worked with computers, and we met him through Brenda's work. And I knew he was in the wrong place. I mean, he's great at what he did, but he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to go on the mission field. Shortly after I left there, he was made assistant pastor at the Calvary Chapel there in Emerald Coast, in charge of missions, and he got his opportunity to start going on the mission field. Well, knowing Alan, that wasn't going to be enough. It wasn't enough, and he saw the need to go to the field full time. I really think that our missionaries are some of the greatest giant killers or giant fighters in the world today. And we bring missionaries here to speak to you from time to time, missionaries that we ought to give some support to. Not so much so you know where your money's going, that's a good thing to know, but so they can encourage you in missions. Maybe God's called you to the mission field. Maybe you see him killing the giants and you think, maybe I can do that too, and you can by the power of the Lord. But maybe you're not called to the mission field. I'm not saying that probably not, maybe not any of you are called to the mission field. But it should encourage you to pray for missions, to support missions, and to be involved in missions.